Oh, I'm loyal, the best of protectors, so protect me. Oh, I'm loyal, the best of protectors, so protect me.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program أسماء الحسنى Blessed Names of Allah عز وجل And inshallah In this episode too, we will gain blessings from the beautiful, glorious names of our Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal. Now the name that we are going to hear about today is a very beautiful name mentioned in Quran, in Hadith, and we'll hear the explanation of that name also. What is that name? The name is Al-Mateen. Alif Lam, then Meem Ta Ya An-Noon. Al-Mateen. And when explaining the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the famous, renowned names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his hadith, the beloved Prophet alayhi salam also mentioned Al-Mateen. And in the Quran, Surah Dhariyat, verse 58, Allah Jalla wa ala mentions this name. He subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Inna Allaha huwa ar-razzaqu dhul quwwatil mateen. Indeed, it is Allah who is Razzaq, the one who provides sustenance, Dhul Quwwatil Mateen, the one who possesses power and all might. So the meaning of Mateen, as explained by the ulama, is the one who is almighty, all-powerful. One word is Quwwa, having strength, having power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power, as mentioned in this verse, Dhul Quwwatil Mateen. But he is Mateen, in that power that he possesses has no limit whatsoever. There is no restriction, there is no limitation on his power. He's all powerful. So this is the meaning of Mateen and how it's different from Quwwa. There's an intense meaning found in there that he is all powerful. There is no limit, there is no end to his power. So in this verse of the Quran, Allah Jalla wa Ala mentioned three awsaf of his Jalla Jalalu. Number one, Razzaq, meaning the one who bestows risk. Number two, Quwwa, the powerful one. And Mateen, the all-powerful, almighty, who has no limit to his power. So look at the beautiful order. He is Razzaq, the one who gives risk, the one who is powerful, Dhul Quwwa, Al-Mateen, the one whose power has no limit. Allah Azza wa Jal is Razzaq in that he gives a risk to all of creation. Whatever is written for them in their destiny will no doubt reach them. And who conveys that risk, who sends that risk? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in giving risk to all of mankind, from the beginning of time until today, and this will be the case until Qiyamah as well, whoever Allah Jalla wa ala gives risk to, it is without any mashaqqa. It is without any hardship. It is without weakening his power and strength. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does all of this, giving risk to one and all, easily, without being compelled, without being forced, without having to face any difficulty, without facing any obstacles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Razzaq, is powerful, and his power has no limit whatsoever. Subhanallah. And normally when we look at insan, it's the complete opposite. When we want something, we want to acquire something or gain something, we have to put effort in. We have to strive. We have to work very hard for it. And there's stumbling blocks. There's obstacles at times. Things don't go our way. Things take longer than expected. And then we achieve. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, complete opposite. Whenever He wants to do something, He does it at will and with utmost ease, without any difficulty whatsoever. He does not face any difficulty, any hardship, any struggle in this regard. Why? He is Razzaq, Dhul Quwwatil Mateen. And in the Quran we're told as well that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will something, wants something to be, then all he has to say is kun. In the Quran Surah Yasin, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, verse 82, إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. إذا أراد شيئا, if Allah will something, then all He says is كن, be, فيكون, and it is. If Allah wants something to happen, all He has to say is be, and it is. And here the ulama have explained as well that the kalima kun, the word kun, is not even necessary. This is just for explanation purposes. Meaning this is just to explain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says kun, and it is. But does He have to say kun? Is He dependent on saying kun? No. Nothing is binding upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just for ease of explanation, so insan can understand how quickly and how swiftly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make something happen. Allahu Akbar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Razzaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power. He is Mateen, the all-powerful, the almighty, who has no limitation on His power as well. So He gives rizq with ease and to whomsoever He wants and in any amount that He wants as well. There's no difficulty in this whatsoever for Him. And one beautiful thing to note here, the ulama state that Allah Jalla wa Ala, being almighty and all-powerful, does not mean that if somebody in creation disobeys Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive that person, or zulman, out of oppression, will not give to him. This is not the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His dhat, His blessed being, is free from oppression, oppressing His servants, His slaves. And He is free from depriving a person based on his a'mal. So despite Him being all-powerful, despite Him possessing strength, He will not deprive a person. He provides rizq to everyone, one and all of creation, simultaneously. SubhanAllah, look how many people live in the world. All parts of the world, people are eating, people have rizq, people attain sustenance. This is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we look at creation, it's the complete opposite. You may find a person who has been granted, bestowed a particular favor, ni'mah, and because of that ni'mah, he has dominance, he has power over other people. The people may be subservient to him, and what he does is that he oppresses people, he deprives people, he acts in such a way that leads to oppression of others, and is seen time and time again, time and time again. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. No one is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite being all-powerful, despite possessing quwwah and being mateen, He still gives rizq to everyone. They disobey Him day and night, Allah jalla wa ala still gives rizq to them. Allahu Akbar. He doesn't stop their rizq. He doesn't decrease their rizq, He increases it. Allahu Akbar. There are people who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They deny His existence, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still gives rizq to them. This is Allah, this is Razzaq Dhul Quwwatil Mateen. And here the ulama mentioned something very beautiful, that when we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we extol Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we glorify Allah Azza wa Jal by saying Subhanallah, by saying La ilaha illallah, by saying Allahu Akbar, by saying Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is dhikr al-lisan, dhikr with the tongue, and it's praiseworthy. But there is another type of dhikr where we ponder upon the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal, upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain ma'rifah, recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is referred to as dhikr al-qalb, dhikr of the heart. This is also praiseworthy as well. A person is pondering about the creation of Allah Jalla wa'ala, and the more he ponders about the creation of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine works, subhanAllah, this brings him that ma'rifah that he wants and he desires. For example, when he ponders upon the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more compassionate and shows more love to creation than a mother does to her child. How much does a mother love her child? Allahu Akbar. That unconditional love. She sacrifices for her child day and night, her own health as well. And this is the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in motherhood, that mothers have this immense love for their children. But Allah Azza wa Jal, He loves His creation, He loves his people, his servants, his slaves, more than a mother loves her child. Here, I'd like to clarify that some people, they mention a narration. They say it's a narration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his slaves 70 times more than a mother loves her child. Now, this particular wording, 70 times, is not found in hadith, the ulama have said. But the general meaning that if that is present, that's found, that Allah loves a slave more than a mother loves her child. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants to us. And when we understand that He is all powerful, we disobey Him, we do wrong, yet He does not deprive us, He bestows upon us. The more we understand this, the more we ponder about this, this increases the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this inshaAllah ta'ala will bring you closer to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is all powerful. For every sin I commit, He can destroy me. I'm worthy of that. But He doesn't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Haleem. He's forbearing. He shows forbearance upon the acts committed by His slaves. And how powerful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahu Akbar. Look at the world. Look at the skies. Look at the heavens. One above the other. One greater than the other. Each heaven is greater than the one beneath it. Then above the seven heavens, what do you have? The arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The arsh is the biggest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In terms of size, the biggest creation of Allah azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more powerful than everything. He's created the greatest creation in size, which is the arsh. Then you look at Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. The narration state that he has 600 wings. The size of those wings from the east to the west. Israfil alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam are greater in size than even Jibreel alayhi salam. But on the day of judgment, these malaika, these angels who are great in size, colossal and massive, they will be fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. And they will show humbleness before their creator, Allah Azza wa Jal. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for creation to end, it will end in an instant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect people, it will happen instantly. This is the qudra, this is the power of Allah Jalla wa Ala. So when we think like this, when we ponder like this, Allah is all powerful, but He loves us. He has authority, He can punish us, but He loves us. He doesn't deprive us, He gives to us. Subhanallah, this provides comfort to our hearts, peace to our minds, subhanallah. And there's no limit to the power of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And sometimes what happens is Allah Jalla wa Ala tests people through His awliya Allah. He tests awliya Allah as well. And through those awliya Allah, He tests the people. In this regard, there's a very beautiful account narrated by Imam Abu al-Qasim Qushayri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. He states that the awliya Allah, they're always attentive towards this beautiful name of Allah, Al-Mateen, the all-powerful, who has no limit to His power. And they expect everything from their creator. They're dependent only upon their creator. Sometimes what happens is Allah Azza wa Jal, He tests that wali of Allah. He places him in a very difficult situation. He's muhtaj, he's needy. And in this regard, he has narrated a beautiful account in his book. He states that Imam Kattani rahimahullah ta'ala narrates that Hazrat Sayyiduna Abu Hafs bin Wari rahmatullahi alayhi, he had a brother who was a high ranking saint. And he fell ill in a particular city, a particular town. And nobody tended to him. Nobody even asked about him. Nobody even inquired about him. For 7 whole days, he's in this very dire state, very difficult state. Nobody even asked about him. They ignored him completely. And then he passed away. He passed away. Then all of a sudden, people began to flock towards him. And it was said, when he was alive, nobody even came. What's this rush? Everybody's come now. And it was said that we heard a voice from the unseen saying that whoever wants to participate in the janazah, the funeral salah of a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let him come. This was bishara, glad tidings given to that wali of Allah, the brother of Sayyidina Abu Hafs, Deen Wali rahmatullahi alayh. So this is why we've come. We flocked because we heard this voice. This was a pious personality. So they came, they buried him. Before the burial, obviously, they shrouded him, etc. And the shroud that they gave as well, they took it from the mihrab. It was in the mihrab. And what was written upon that kafan, that shroud? لا حاجة لنا في كفنكم. هذا ولي من أوليائنا مات. We don't need your coffin. لا حاجة لنا في كفنكم. We are not in need of your coffin, your shroud. This is a wali from our awliya who has passed away. You did not feed him, you did not provide drink to him, you did not look after him, you did not provide treatment for him, he was ill. We don't need your shroud. And this is how the people of that town, the people of that area were tested. They did not help a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the wali Allah himself was tested greatly. So the kafan was disregarded, the kafan was rejected. So Imam Abul Qasim Qushayri rahmatullahi alayhi writes that after that the people felt very guilty. So the people, they had a home constructed for his isale thawab. People would come and anyone who had to eat and drink, they would be provided with food and drink. The hospitality was given. So we learn from this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people in different ways. The waliullah was tested and the people of the town were also tested. And they failed in that test. Meaning they didn't tend to him, they didn't look after him. But afterwards, they created this house for him as a means of reward. And then they would be hospitable to guests, to travelers. Whoever came would be provided with food. So this name Mateen teaches us many things. Ulama say there are requirements of names as well. When we hear them, how do we implement the requirements of those names in our life? Allah Azza wa Jal is all powerful. There is no limit to his power. He is Al-Mateen, yet he does not oppress. Now, if we are given or bestowed any such rank in life where we are above people and we can oppress others or we can make decisions regarding others that will be detrimental for them. If in life we are given any such rank or position where we are above others, people are subservient to us, then we should never oppress them. We should never misuse that power that has been given to us. But it seems, unfortunately, that when a person gains some power, some strength, position, rank, then he is committing oppression. He's looking down on others. He's depriving others of their rights. This is very, very important that we don't do this. And although people who are judges, they're in positions of power, they can also fall prey to this. We should look at our own selves. We shouldn't be judging others. If, for example, a case was brought to me or you between two people and I have to decide fairly, that's also a massive test. Will I show justice or will I be oppressive to one out of the two? How will I deal with that situation? This is something that we should ponder about. So the name Al-Mateen, Allah is all-powerful, but he does not oppress. He is adil, he is just. And in one beautiful hadith in Sahih Bukhari, it mentions that on the Day of Judgment, out of the seven people who will be given the shade of the throne of Allah, Azza wa Jal, on the Day of Judgment, when there will be no shade besides the shade of the throne of Allah, Azza wa Jal, one such fortunate person will be Imamun Adil, a leader who was just. He demonstrated and expressed justice throughout his life. So this is something that we should work towards. We should make endeavors and efforts towards this as well, to be just to people, not to oppress people, not to deprive people, even if we're in a position of power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful, yet he does not oppress others. He is Adil, he deals justly. Another requirement of this name, Al-Mateen, is that when we know that Allah is all-powerful, we must be humble before Him. We know in an instant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can perish the people. He can destroy the people, bring other people in their place. And we should remain humble. We have the Day of Judgment to come. We have to answer for our actions. Will we be able to answer for all those times we disobeyed Allah? We transgressed the laws of Allah? Of course not. We should remain humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be very humble. Show ajizi. And this is the trait of the believers, as mentioned in the Quran. They walk on the earth humbly. They're not arrogant. So one taqaza, one requirement of this name Al-Mateen, knowing that Allah is all-powerful, is that we are humble before Allah Azza wa Jal. And we show no arrogance whatsoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes the mutakabbirin, those who are arrogant. And lastly, in regards to the name Mateen, there are certain names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which can be kept without prefixing the name Abdul. And there are others which it's necessary to prefix Abdul before them. For example, the dhati name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah. You can't call another person Allah. If you want to take blessings from this name, you have to put Abd before it. Abdullah. Then that's fine. And in the hadith it states the two beautiful names beloved to Allah are Abdullah and Abdurrahman. So this encouragement to keep the names Abdullah and Abdurrahman. Similarly with Rahman, you can't call someone, a human being, Rahman on its own. It's exclusive to Allah Azza wa Jal, so you have to attach Abd before it. Abdul Rahman. There are other names as well. Al-Qayyum. Qayyum cannot be kept on its own. Abdul Qayyum is necessary. Then there are other names which can be kept on their own. And Al-Mateen is one of them. Somebody is named Mateen and you call him Mateen, this is fine. Similarly, if somebody is called Rahim, you can refer to them as just Rahim or Ra'uf. But it's better in all cases to keep Abd. We're talking about the permissibility and impermissibility. So this is something that we should also be mindful of, which names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be kept on their own and which names have to be prefixed with the Abdul. And in this regard, it's advised to consult the ulama, especially when a child is born, you're eager to take blessings from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consult the ulama, inshallah, they will guide you better in this regard. May Allah jalla wa ala grant us all barakat, blessings of his beautiful name, Al-Mateen. Ameen bi jahin Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Oh Allah, you're the best of protectors, so protect me. Oh Allah, you're the best of protectors, so protect me.